Praise the Lord. Welcome to another meeting with Zion's Trumpet. How's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Everybody doing good this week? Well, that's good. Oh, good. Great. All right. Well, anybody have anything you'd like to share tonight? I think somebody has something to share. I'm going to open up quick before we start anything. And if anything, anybody has anything on their heart? Raise your hand, we'll let you share. Looks like Kim has something to say. Go ahead, Kim, you got the mic.
I just had a little something to share. I asked the Lord this week if it would be all right for me to give money to the relief effort in Haiti, and I felt that he told me no. The biggest reason for this is the fact that voodoo is Haiti's official religion, and a great deal of the people there practice it. They even have voodoo temples and voodoo priests. There have been other devastating earthquakes around the world. So whether it was God's judgment or not, I don't know for sure. But I believe that it is very possible. 2 John 1:10-11 says, "If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." If we as Christians are not supposed to let someone teaching a false doctrine into our house, or not even spend well, what would God think of us voluntarily giving our money to them? Do we want to be partakers of voodoo and witchcraft? I know I don't. I saw a story on Fox News earlier today that said that people in Haiti are turning to voodoo, even now, to cope with the devastating effects of the earthquake. You would think after such a cataclysmic event that killed over 150,000 people that they would grow desperate and call out to God. Even after this, they seem to have no fear of God.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing, Ken. I think I kind of agree with you. Anybody else have anything to share before we start? It's like Jim says, I have no mic, but I feel like I ran across an old friend that is in Joey Boy. We have the same email exchanges in the past and lost contact. And here I met him here. That's good. Well, praise the Lord. Small world. Just got one song I was going to sing for you guys, if you want to do a song first. It's going to be a little different tonight. We're going to have a little different thing going on tonight. But I'll share this one song with you. You know it's because it's on the one. It's one of the discs I play sometimes for my music in the chat room music here. Father Bob sings this song. I've never sang it. I never sang the chat room. I never sang it on my website. But you've all heard Father Bob sing it. But I thought I'd sing it tonight because it sort of has something to do with what I'm going to be talking about, counting the cost, the cost of walking this way. Have you counted the cost to walk this way? Have you paid the price to behold his face? For to behold the living God is to walk away from self, to die to self, to leave yourself behind you, to be nothing, to be empty, that Christ in you may be all. Have you counted the cost to walk this way? Have you paid the price to behold his face? For to behold the living God is to walk away from self, to die to self, yourself behind you to be nothing, to be empty. That Christ in you may be all in all. Have you counted the cost? God is to walk away from self, to die to self, to leave yourself behind you, to be nothing, to be empty, that Christ in you may be. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody have anything else before we start here? Okay. Well, I just want to give you this verse of scripture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10-13. The thief, which is the devil, you all know that, cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal our life, to kill our life, to destroy our life, to destroy our relationships with each other, to destroy our relationships with our families, with the brethren. He comes to destroy everything God gives us, our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And Christians are so ignorant, they have no idea of his wiles and the ways he operates, and he just is destroying their life constantly, right and left. He's destroying Christians right and left, right now in this hour, and they're not even aware of it. But tonight, I have something a little different I want to do. I didn't have anything to share all week until a few hours ago because I got some bad news about my physical condition. And I'll tell you the truth, I've been fighting depression ever since then. You know, I'm not feeling much like an overcomer this week. And I hate to get on here, if I feel like a hypocrite, getting on here and behind this mic and encouraging everybody else to be an overcomer in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their battles. And when I'm not being an overcomer myself right now, very good. You know, so I just didn't have anything. I just couldn't get anything to share tonight. I didn't know if I was going to come on. But anyway, of course, you know, the devil always overplays his hand, and he takes great delight in kicking people when they're down, kicking you when you're already down. And so he gave me a kick today when I was already down. And after that, I just felt like crawling into a hole and just, you know, just disappearing for a while. But, you know, I went to the Lord and I prayed, and I said, Lord, give me the strength to do what you want me to do tonight. And my fellow told me to speak out again on the severe danger of this Antichrist spirit that I've been talking about so much in my room, my chat room. And, you know, I share what I do regarding these spirits, and especially this Antichrist, this religious spirit. I share this from our experiences that we've had in fighting this spirit and getting set people free from it. And I've seen many people come under that spirit, under the influence of that spirit, this Antichrist spirit, this particular religious spirit. And very few of them have ever gotten free from it. Very few. And in fact, the longer they're involved with that spirit, the harder it is to get free from it. Once you have given yourself completely to it, it defiles your temple. It does everything to you the Holy Ghost does to a Christian. And it's almost impossible to get you free from that spirit. Okay? Not only are you completely overcome by it, you become a carrier. Just like in the natural, some people get a disease, but it doesn't kill them. They just walk around with it and just infect everybody they come in contact with. You also become a spiritual carrier of this deadly virus. And Satan and that spirit uses you to murder other believers spiritually, to murder them spiritually, especially all those around you and in your own family. Its spirit begins to use you to destroy the spiritual life of God and every person around you, every person you touch. is a very dangerous, deadly, damnable spirit. And because I teach on this very unpleasant truth, I teach about this spirit, and I try and warn people about it, I've made many, many enemies over the years. Many. And the fact is, most of God's people don't want to hear the truth about the reality and the danger and the power of demon spirits. Especially when you start talking about religious spirits that are counterfeiting everything the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. In fact, they hate that truth. They not only don't want to hear it, they hate it. They hate it so bad, they will turn on those who are sounding this kind of alarm like rabid dogs. They can't handle the truth, and they have no intention of listening to the truth. They have no intention of listening to anyone who's trying to get them to face that truth. And if they could kill you physically to shut you up without getting any trouble with man or God, I believe they would do it in a heartbeat. That's how much they hate that truth. The devil hates it, and there's people walking in their spirit hate it, and blind Christians who want to walk in false security and don't want to face the truth of what we're facing this hour, they hate it. They hate it with a passion, and they hate the messenger as well as the message. And they turn and rend the messenger as soon as they hear him talking about it. Right now, I'm being accused of breaking up a marriage because my husband has accepted the truth the Lord has given me to share regarding these spirits, especially this religious spirits. And when he began to recognize and realize that one of the members of his family had come under the influence of this antichrist spirit, this religious spirit, he tried to expose the issue to the rest of his family, tried to warn the rest of his family, but the rest of the family didn't want to hear. They wouldn't believe that one of their own could possibly be involved with religious demons. They're too proud. Too proud to accept that one of their own could be involved in something like that. And so for months they've been pressuring this guy, trying to force him to renounce his discernment, to give up his stand and say he was wrong and get into fellowship with this guy that has a spirit, okay, for the sake of peace and keeping the family together. But as of this point, he won't cave in. He knows that this guy has a religious spirit, and he knows that spirit brought all his family under it, and he knows that if he weakens or he compromises, he's going to come under that spirit. He knows that. The Lord showed him that. I didn't tell him that. The Lord showed him that, okay, very clearly. The Lord gave him some dreams, and I won't go into all of it, but the Lord gave him some dreams 5, 6, 7 months before the thing even happened and blew up. God gave him clear dreams of what was exactly going to happen. I'm amazed at how clear those dreams were once you look back and see God showed what was going to happen. But anyway, the result of him standing his ground is that his whole family has turned against him, has turned on him, like dogs. And they've also managed to turn his wife on him. They managed to convince him that he's a religious wacko. That Christian, you know, the doctrine is, like all Christians believe, most all Christians believe, as long as you're a Christian, you can have fellowship with other Christians, it doesn't matter. And if they have spirits, it doesn't matter. As long as you're praying to God the right way, as long as you're right with your God, you can have fellowship with them, you can take communion with them, read the Bible with them, pray with them, it won't affect you. It doesn't matter if they're walking on the spirits, it doesn't affect you. Okay? And that's the position that he's standing up against. So not only they turned on him and they're saying he's a religious wacko, now I've become the great enemy of that whole family because I've been agreeing with his discernment. I believe what he's saying is true. I get a witness of what his discernment is true about this whole situation. And so I'm encouraging him not to give in and not to end up walking under those deceiving spirits. So now the accusation is he's, you know, following me and not Christ and all that. Yeah, it goes. So I'm being blamed for the whole thing. All right? Now, I just found that out today, really. I'm not sharing this with you so you can pity me, okay? I'm not asking for your pity. That's not what I'm saying. You know, Jesus said when they shall say all manner of evil against you because of my name or because you're doing my will, then rejoice for great is your reward in heaven. So I feel I have a great reward waiting for me because I've done nothing wrong. All I've done was encourage his brother in Christ to stay out of deception. A deception has the ability to completely destroy him, okay? It's already destroyed all his family. But once that religious spirit takes his seat in your temple, once that spirit gets a hold of your life and takes a seat in your temple, brother, you're toast. You are toast unless God performs a mighty miracle on your behalf to free you. So that I'm not bringing this up so you can say, oh, poor Daniel's being persecuted. I'm bringing this up tonight to try and bring out a little bit of the cost that's required to really follow Jesus the way he wants you to follow him in this hour. See, this whole realm of getting free from and staying free from the influence of demon spirits, and especially this powerful, deadly religious spirit that counterfeits everything the Holy Spirit does right now, It's something the enemy resists with everything he has in his arsenal. I mean, when you start exposing this religious spirit, you are cutting into the heart of Satan's kingdom, what he's doing right now. And once you really start warning people, and now you just say a phrase here and there, say, you know, these people are deceived, and those people are deceived, and Todd Bentley's deceived. No, when you really start hammering people, really start pushing the issue, you and me, brother, can be deceived. There's a spirit out there that plays the Holy Ghost in people's lives, not just Todd Bentley, millions of people just like you and me, people outside the system, people inside the system, I don't care where you are. The spirit is moving, taking people over, sitting in God's temple, destroying and making them desolate, sending them to hell. Yes, to hell. They're going to be in hell when it's all over. Okay? If that spirit takes a seat in your temple, you will be lost. And when you start saying that message clearly and boldly to people, you're going to find out you're going to receive an end of the wrath. The wrath of Christians of hate who hate the truth. Not the wrath of the world, the wrath of Christians who hate the truth and are aligning themselves with Satan. See, if you want to really sound an alarm where it counts in this hour, about being prepared for the being free from these spirits and getting free and staying free from the spirit, then you gotta be prepared to be scorned and lied about and falsely accused and totally rejected, not by just fellow Christians, but by your own family. Because many, probably out of 25 Christian families, 20 of them will have somebody in that family that's walking under religious spirits. And when that spirit gets confronted, it's going to divide that family and destroy it. And the only choice people have is to cave in, compromise, and come under that spirit so the whole family's walking under the spirit together, or else the family ends up splitting up. Because once you get under that demon spirit, you're blind, and you'll never see the truth again. Okay, and you're convinced you're following Jesus, convinced the other guy's wrong, and that's it. It's a war to the end. One person's got to cave in. And if the person who's following the real Jesus caves in, they're lost with the rest of the family. But the other person won't cave in because you're convinced they're following Jesus. That's how perfect the Antichrist counterfeit is. It just totally, totally, totally deceives you. And you can no longer tell the difference between Jesus Christ and Antichrist. You can no longer tell the difference between a false Christ and the Holy Spirit. The ability to perceive the difference goes bye-bye. All right? And somebody else has to help you see it. That's all there is to it. That's the composite. You know, I already had one whack to me this week, you know, on my own self, my physical condition. And today, I was still trying to get up above it. And today, this came to my attention, and I just really wanted to crawl into a hole. I guess you probably all felt like that. So anyway, I went and prayed, and the Lord said, well, just get up and start fighting. Just get up and start tackling the issue. Start speaking the truth again. You know, that's the devil's hating. That's why the devil's attacking you, because you're saying the truth. Just keep saying the truth. That's the only option I have, to keep talking, to keep exposing, keep reminding people of the truth. But before I go any further tonight, I want to do something a little different. I've asked my wife, Pam, to share a little bit of her own testimony tonight with you all regarding just how dangerous and how seductive and how real this religious spirit can be. So this is my wife going to speak to you. She's going to share her own little testimony here. She's never talked before, so you have mercy on her. She doesn't do real well. I think she wrote some things down so she doesn't get lost. Okay, so here's Pam. Pamela, my wife. Okay, just talk in the mic. It's okay. Just talk regular.
Hello, everybody. Dan thinks it's time for me to share my testimony tonight and to share how I got free from this religious demon that he's talking to you about. My testimony begins with a false salvation experience that I had. My experience was very real, and it was very supernatural. I responded to the altar call at a church that I was attending, and I was crying, and I felt what I thought was the love of God drawing me. That day, my life changed, and I knew something was different. I had a very real experience with a very real supernatural being that I thought was Jesus. I felt peace, love, joy, and a longing to give my life to Jesus. Everyone could tell that I was different and that something had happened to me. I was wanting more of God in my life, and I'd heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got baptized with what I thought was the Holy Spirit of God, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was experiencing everything that a Christian experiences when they get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. After I got baptized in the Spirit, I started having visions and dreams, some good, some bad. I was able to see and hear and feel evil spirits as well as good spirits, but it was all evil. It was just a religious spirit manifesting itself in a good way and in a bad way. I was supernaturally healed of a back problem that I had, and I was delivered from cigarette smoking supernaturally. I had the gift of tongues. I had received a gift of prophecy, and I had received a false anointing to sing. I knew it wasn't me because I couldn't sing. Just like a person loves Jesus when he gets saved and wants to serve Jesus, I loved that religious spirit and wanted to serve that religious spirit that I thought was Jesus. I was led by that spirit. I received revelations by that spirit, and the Bible was made real to me by that spirit. I was in a real relationship with a real spirit for 15 years. It was only the wisdom of God in my husband and the discernment of God in my mother-in-law that got me free from this spirit. The reason I was opened up to this spirit in the first place was because when I went to God to get saved, I didn't repent. There was no repentance in my salvation experience. That spirit counterfeited everything in my life that a Christian has in their life. The only thing that that religious spirit couldn't counterfeit was the nature of God. I was being transformed, but into the image of that spirit. I was religious and on my way to hell. But God had mercy on me and showed me my true spiritual condition. He gave me a spirit of repentance, and I rejected and renounced my whole religious experience. And I have laid down my whole religious life, everything that I had with that spirit. I just want to say that I am very, very grateful for my husband, who truly, truly loves me. He went through hell, and he did it willingly. He laid down his life for me to get me free from that spirit. And I also want to say that my mother-in-law, who loves me with the love of God and showed me that love on a daily basis by laying down her life, and she went through much suffering, having burdens for me in order to get me free from this spirit. It's not easy getting free from this spirit. It's possible, but it's not easy. And without them, I would still be religious and serving that spirit and on my way to hell, if they had not intervened in my life. That's where I would be. I have to be very sober and cautious, because that religious demon will never ever give up trying to get back in my life. I have to walk differently right now than most Christians because of what I was involved in. But God is teaching me how to walk with him without being influenced by that spirit. I know that God has forgiven me But it still grieves me to this day to know that I served his enemy for 15 years, and he has had mercy on me. And I'm truly, truly grateful.
Okay. I don't usually let her testify or get out in public or anything because I'd like to protect her. She's in a very precarious position. I know spirits love to get her back. And I'm going to do everything in my power to stop it from ever happening. So I don't, you know, I don't put her out in front, you know, everybody, and let her be attacked at all. But I wanted to share that testimony with you guys. Because it's not just Pam. We've dealt with other people with this spirit. And it's a very horrible spirit, you know. I can tell you from our experience that not just with Pam, but with others, have come under that, the power of that spirit, that once it gains a real hold in your life, you are no longer able to tell the difference between it and the Holy Spirit. In Pam's case, she never had the Holy Spirit. She got the counterfeit from the very beginning. But other people have had the Holy Spirit and have had that spirit, the new man, their new man slain, killed, murdered, and had the Holy Spirit driven out of their spirit, replaced with this damnable, foul to the spirit. And they never knew the difference because it feels the same. The voice sounded the same. The presence felt the same. The joy was the same joy. The peace was the same peace. And it was a complete swap. Jesus Christ was gone. Antichrist was in the temple. And they never knew it. And they no longer had to able, they were no longer able to tell the difference between that counterfeit and the Holy Spirit. When you get to that place, you're in a serious problem. It's a very dangerous place to be. You're probably going to end up in hell unless God intervenes supernaturally and by miraculous means to stop it, to get you back out. That spirit can duplicate and replicate the work of the Holy Spirit so completely in your life, except for actually changing you into the image of Jesus, which may take you years to find out you're not really being changed his image, okay? And by that time, you're so deluded, you don't even realize it. You absolutely cannot tell the difference between its voice and the voice of God, between its presence and the presence of God, between its peace and the peace of God, between its joy and the joy of God, okay? Now, some people have gotten involved in Toronto and Lakeland and Brownsville, those things, and they've come out of it. Because they weren't steeped in it for years and years and years. They didn't give themselves completely to it. I've read testimonies of people come out, I think, but from the very beginning, the reason they came out is because from the very beginning, there's some kind of doubt in their mind. When they started having strange manifestations, when they started doing crazy things, they got scared. Things happened, they got scared. They got terrified to death. There was always a doubt back in their mind there that God could use, that God could strengthen, God could work on. There was always a doubt. Is this God? Is this really God? But once somebody gives themselves to that thing, once they're convinced it's God, and they actually give themselves that thing, totally. It don't take long, a few years. And you're beyond help. You're beyond reach, I'm telling you. This is something God's people will not accept. They will not accept it. They don't accept that people can get beyond reach. To them, that's heresy. That's exalting the devil's power above God's power. They won't live in reality. They won't walk in reality. They must live in a little fantasy world. That Jesus is the great shepherd, Santa Claus, grandfather combined. He's never going to let you really get hurt. Never going to really go to hell. So we're up against this spirit. This is one of the times Pam came into our, you know, our life when we were, God was just showing us these spirits. Just showing us this religious spirit, what it was, how to deal with it, how strong it was. And she's one of the people God used to open our eyes to it and show us how to deal with it. But the only hope, once this spirit gets to the point where it has taken its seat in your temple, where it has become Jesus to you, and you don't know the difference anymore between it and the Holy Spirit, between God's voice and its voice, then you can't deliver yourself, and God can't get through to you. You've got to go to, you've got to be with somebody else, some other person who has a spiritual discernment, who has the wisdom that it takes to tell the difference between the true and the counterfeit, because you can no longer tell. And I can tell you, those kinds of people who can tell the difference between the counterfeit and the true, when you talk about this kind of religious spirit, that's completely counterfeiting everything of God, they're far and few between. I mean, you got so few people in the beginning to begin with, even believing a Christian can have a demon. All right. Then you got on top of that, you're talking about a demon that absolutely, totally mimics copies, replicates, duplicates everything Jesus does in your life. He gives you a desire to read the Bible. You can't tell a Christian that a demon will give you a desire to read the Bible. They can't get their mind around that. They can't wrap their brain around that. They can't accept that a demon would tell a Christian to read the Bible. They can't accept that a demon would tell a Christian to go to church and worship Jesus. They can't accept that a demon would do the things the Holy Ghost tells a Christian to do. They're blind. They don't know the demonic realm. They're like little children, and they don't want to learn anything. They just want to retreat in this world where they're safe, they're safe, they're safe. Jesus is going to keep them safe. That's what they do. And nothing you do, nothing you say can get them out of that world. It's just a waste of time. But once you, I'm going to tell you, once you get to this place where this spirit has control of you, and you're following it, and you think it is Jesus, you need to get around somebody else that has discernment, that can tell what's a counterfeit and what's not a counterfeit. You need the help of someone else. And not only do you need their help, you're going to have to blindly follow their discernment and their wisdom regarding the whole situation for a while until you get delivered, because you're no longer capable of hearing the Lord's correctly. You're no longer capable of discerning what is God, what is not. See? You're no longer capable of discerning the difference between a true and a counterfeit. You've got to be around somebody who is capable of doing it. That's why so few people who really get entangled in the spirit, once it really gets a foothold in them and takes a seat in the temple, that's why they can't get free. Because once it really gets a foothold in your life, you need to humble yourself and go to somebody else who has discernment to know what's going on. That's all there is to it. And you need to blindly follow their wisdom and their discernment until you get free from it, until you learn the difference again between the two. See, in most people, I'd probably say 90% of Christians are too proud to humble themselves before other Christians and submit themselves to that kind of help to get straightened out. They're too proud to let another Christian be their eyes and their ears for them until they get straightened out. I'm not talking about let somebody be your God, following man, following the doctrines of man, following the preacher. I'm talking about when you're in trouble like this, when you have demons have infested you and you can't tell the difference between God's voice and their voice, you need somebody to help you. You need somebody to be your eyes and ears for a while until you get free, until you learn again to tell the difference between what's what. Okay? And God's people, just like the world, are too proud to submit. They don't submit to God. They don't submit to their brother. They don't submit to anybody. And especially the people who left the system. That's one of the big problems when people come out here. It's good to come out, but a lot of them are walking in rebellion out here against not just the system, but against God and everything else. Right? They're too proud to submit to each other. The reason Pam got free is because she blindly followed my wisdom and the discernment of my mother and I for a couple years. I don't know how long it took until she finally got to the place where she got free. She's blindly followed our instructions, right? Because she couldn't tell the difference. I'm telling you, that's the kind of thing that has to happen to somebody who gets entangled with these kinds of spirits. Not all kinds of spirits. You can have all kinds of different spirits, drinking and smoking and gambling and lust and everything else. God can intervene, break that thing on you, and just you and God can get delivered from it. You and Jesus. Okay, well, you're talking about a religious antichrist spirit who's playing God in your life. It's a whole different realm. It's a whole different ballgame. I keep trying to tell people this. I don't think they get it. When you're dealing with a religious spirit who's playing Jesus in your life, you need help. You need help. You're never going to get it yourself between you and Jesus. Now, I'm talking about somebody who's actually got, that the spirit's got control of you. And actually got control of you, been following it for a while. Now, lots of people have gotten involved with wrong movements, power, and gotten free eventually by hearing the truth. But I'm talking about once he really gets a hold in your life, and you're convinced everything you hear is him, everything you hear is God, it's that spirit, you get to a place where you can't be helped except by somebody else who has discernment and the wisdom to know what's going on, who knows the difference between the counterfeit and the true. Okay, I'm just trying to emphasize that. So if you come up against anybody like that, that's in that kind of condition, it's not going to do any good to talk doctrine to them. It's not going to do any good to just say, well, your brother, I think you're a religious spirit. You know, you have to spend time with them. You have to take them under your wings and spend time with them, explain to them, you got to become their eyes and ears for a while and explain to them, show them from ground up again, what's Antichrist, what's Jesus Christ, what's the real voice, what's the real presence, what's the real joy, and what's the counterfeit. That's how bad it's getting. See, and people don't want to hear that kind of truth. It doesn't sit well. It takes away their false assurance that God's not going to let anything bad happen to them. And they can't handle it because they don't know. This is something strictly discernment. This takes strictly an issue of discernment. It's not an issue of doctrine. You can't straighten people out with doctrine. You can't straighten people out with doctrine like this. It's an issue of discernment. God's got to show you when somebody's moving on that spirit, because many people who have the right doctrine are moving under that spirit right now. That's another thing Christians can't accept. They won't accept that if somebody's preaching truth, they can be under a religious spirit. They don't accept that religious spirits can speak the truth, can go out there and preach the Bible. So when you try and say somebody, I'll say somebody, this guy's an unreligious spirit. I don't care if he speaks the truth and preaches the Bible till your tongue drops out. He's still walking in a religious spirit. They won't accept it. See, it's all doctrine, 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 doctrine. Nobody has the discernment, the spiritual discernment. Just know, by being in somebody's presence, know whether they're walking in the right spirit or not. And that's the kind of thing, guys, to give us to survive. Because I'm telling you, more and more people are coming out of this spirit that I'm talking about tonight. More and more people, thousands and thousands and thousands. Every day, thousands of people are coming out of that spirit. Some of them are getting out because they're not getting rooted and grounded in it. A few of them are getting out. But most of them are getting rooted and grounded. And 10 years from now, they'll all be on their way to hell. There's no way to help them. So I just felt the Lord me going there tonight and reiterate how dangerous that spirit is and how powerful it is. And you can say that people are toast once you get under it, you know, to a certain degree, because they are. And that's not exalting devil's power. That's just saying the way it is. God said it's going to be that way in the Bible. I'm just saying what God said. Anyway, besides the point. Okay, people don't want to hear what God said either. But I want to read you something. I want to read you a letter this woman, this wife of this guy, wrote to a minister. Portions of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So I want to read a portion of how this, I want to show you how this religious spirit twists the scripture. Okay, because many times it does twist the scripture. Not all the time, but sometimes it does. And this is one of those things where she's twisting the scripture to defend her position, and she's asking this minister that she trusts, that she believes is on her side, to confirm what she's getting out of this Bible verse, this Bible passage. And it's 1 Corinthians 8.